your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Kevin Meehan, co-founder and CEO of Just Live. Kevin, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, for everybody that's tuning in right now, Just Live is an athlete-owned performance CBD brand, also founded by athletes Clay Thompson, Alex Morgan, Travis Pastrana, and Paul Rodriguez. Kevin, I was excited to have you on the show, mainly just because, you know, you come from, you know, an incredible background, you know, building super successful lifestyle brands, brands that I've loved over the years. So, you know, everything from Hurley to Burton and Ruka. And I'd love to know, you know, from you, like coming from that world, what was it that really got you into this whole world of, you know, CBD and all of these great athletes that you're partnered with to build out this brand?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I've been in apparel. I started my career in media, and then through a great relationship with Bob Hurley, and Bob had a lot of faith in me. He brought me over to the apparel side and the brand side, which you know, I'm forever grateful for Bob, to Bob for that. And it's opened up a lot of doors for me. Bob's still a great friend, great supporter, and continue to stay close to him. But I've been in apparel in the brand side for a long time. And, you know, with everything happening in the world, I was ready for a change and to try something different. And I've always had the benefit of working with brilliant founders, whether it be Jake Burton, you know, Bob Hurley, Pat Tenori, Richard Wolcott, some really incredible founders and visionaries. And I've been able to learn from them. And, you know, in this stage of my life, I kind of wanted to do something that I could do from the ground up and build. And I really wasn't looking for CBD. CBD kind of found me. I've used it in the past for things for myself, from, you know, inflammation. I've always had bad backs, to helping with sleep, but it wasn't something I was looking to jump into. And, you know, part of it was because of the stigma that was still associated with it as well. And, which I think you'd mentioned prior, but as I got into it, it was the athletes that pulled me in. So my partner, one of my partners, Steve Ruff, he's a senior vice president at Wasserman, and he had access to athletes across, you know, not just action sports, but you know, the bigger world as well, in getting into basketball and soccer and some other things. So it was kind of like, hey, I'll have a meeting with Steve. And Steve was the, you know, one of the main founders and brought me on board. But it was when I talked to the athletes that really got me excited. So Pastrana was the first one I talked to, and he went through and talked about his real life experience with CBD and how it's not only helped him personally, but his whole family. And you got to go and listen to his testimonial on our website, but it's pretty incredible. And you know, after I got off the phone with Travis, I was kind of like, wow, you know, maybe I should look deeper into this. And then my next call was with Alex Morgan to talk about it. This is before I've come on board. And she used it for a whole different purpose, you know, about how she used it to help recovery in her muscles after a workout, or warm them up prior to a workout. And the drops were the only thing that settled her down after a match so that she could actually get a good night's sleep. So, you know, it was these athletes. And then Paul, I had a similar experience with the conversation. And then, you know, my final one with Clay, you know, and these guys were all passionate about it. So it made me dive deeper into, you know, the industry and what's going on in the industry and the opportunity there. Sorry, that was a lot. That was a mouthful.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that's just so incredible to see, especially being in the space on the athletic side, is like, so many of these folks are using it, whether it's running or golf or basketball, you name it. There's just so many things that CBD is obviously helping, you know, whether it's, you know, injury recovery or mood elevation, you know, pain relief, stress, sleep, everything. I mean, I take it for all those, everything above. Yeah. What I find is so fascinating is just the way that the sports side of the world, the athletic side of the world, has really kind of catapulted the use of CBD. And so I think what you guys are doing is great, just because you're kind of going at the source of where a lot of this is coming from, and you're making it available to, you know, everyday consumers who are, they might have very similar ailments in different ways, right? I think even my mom, you know, she said to me the other day, she's like, hey, can you recommend a really good, you know, CBD gummy for my arthritis? You know, yep. So to get that generation to even start thinking about using, you know, the power of the plant is pretty cool, right? Like, we've come a long way here. What are you know, as you're kind of working with a lot of these athletes, and you guys have really created a, you know, a really interesting, you know, product set from supplements and tinctures and gummies and topicals. Like, talk to us a little bit about, you know, one, how you're bringing this to the market and what really differentiates you guys out there.
You know, one of the things that we've set out to do is in one of the opportunities I feel like was in the space, was it to really build a real community around a natural way for healing and for improving our lives. And that's what a lot of these athletes are passionate about. You know, they've all had friends, or we all have friends who've, you know, gone the other way and used a lot of pharmaceuticals to help their pain or the recovery. And we really looked at this as an opportunity to create a real community in this space, and not just around CBD. CBD is the start. It's a great tool for these athletes. But we want to continue to build out this community around improving life for athletes, and not just for athletes, because we feel that if it works for these athletes, then it'll work for everyone. And one of the things that, you know, something I learned from Jake Burton and some of the other guys back in the day is, you know, getting these athletes involved in the product process and saying, really, what works for you guys? Because athletes put their bodies through more than most of us. And if it works for them, it should work for all of us. So, you know, the idea is get them involved in product development. You know, Travis, what do you want to see? You know, you're strapped into a rally car all day. What's going to help you? And we feel like we can bring new products to the market with, you know, combination of working with our manufacturing partners and their scientists and formulators, and then having our athletes sit there in the room with them working on products, you know, and bringing new things to the market, and helping then using the athletes, these high powered athletes, these high profile athletes, to help not only bring these products to market, but also to help educate the consumer on these products and CBD in general.
Mm-hmm. Now, from a just kind of, you know, obviously you have a number of different athletes that are really behind the brand. Is there, like, are there certain products, you know, that maybe one of the athletes likes more than the other? Obviously, you guys have a very wide range of differentiated products. So I'm just curious if they kind of, you know, were like, hey, I actually really like the tinctures, or I really need the topicals, and the, you know, you have some type of freeze CBD formula. Just curious about that.
Yeah. Well, I should also say, so we have those four founding athletes, but we've also have a slew of another, you know, 10 to 12 athletes who are investors in the brand as well. So everything from your snowboard community and ski to mountain biking into swimming, and then a couple more in the skate world. We're, the athletes believe in this product and what we're doing, and are coming in, and you know, our model is different, where they're athlete investors and part of the brands, and they have a vested interest in making this work. And even more than that, it's not even just a vested interest in the business. They all believe that this is a solution for the future. So I wanted to make sure I pointed that out. And then going back to the product specifically, you know, it depends. So I think across the board, all of them love the freeze roll on, because yeah, you get that immediate sensation of healing from the menthol. Mm-hmm. The harness kicks in, and then the CBD is doing its work behind the scenes. So all of the athletes are using the roll ons. We have some other products that are coming soon that we, you know, maybe we'll talk about in the next podcast. Yeah. But the tinctures and the would be the second product that they all love for just for the general anti-inflammatory and also the calming effects for sleep.
You know, we've had a number of guests on from, you know, that are in the CBD market as well. There are different formulations, you know, whether it's broad spectrum or isolates. And then there's lots of dosage differences with CBD, whether it's like, you know, 1,000 milligrams or 500 milligrams or 100 milligrams. Like, can you talk to us a little bit about the potencies specifically in your products?
Yeah, we're still looking at. We want to simplify it for the consumer because I think that there's a lot of confusion. And
yeah, totally.
And one of the things we want to do is in educating is demystifying all this stuff as well and making it really simple for the consumer to understand. And so we're trying to create blocks that make sense for the consumers. And the 1500, so, you know, like on the roll-on, we go from a 300, 750 to 1500, depending on what kind of strength you want to get into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we feel like a 300 is a great entry-level place where people can start using it if they don't have a lot of severe pain or recovery that they're looking for. They can start with that 300. And then if you have, you know, a deeper pain or discomfort or stiffness, you jump up to that 1500, you know, and similarly with, you know, people are different. Similarly with the tincture, you know, especially with the tincture on the ingestibles, it gives you a way to start and educate yourself when you start out at the 300 level, milligrams level. And then you find your right mixture that's right for you. You know, for me, I love the 1500 at night. I wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep because my brain's going a million miles an hour about starting a new company and everything else that's happening in this world. So I have some drops and it puts me right back to sleep within, 15, 20 minutes. And I wake up feeling great. So I think it's all about people's personal preferences and giving them the opportunity to have the product that fits for them.
Awesome. That's what I was looking for. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the key drivers of the market right now, especially a lot of people who have just started to get into using CBD products. They just don't know, you know, there's, I think this is really heavily focused on education right now, really getting people to understand the whys and the why nots. So I had a few folks on the show in the beginning, I guess maybe in the spring, and we were really talking about, especially the CBD market, you know, one of the hardest challenges is that you have with the farm bill and having CBD legal everywhere is kind of like a gold rush for a lot of companies. And they were doing everything just to get in on it, but it wasn't high quality. And so you would see these products, you know, at a gas station or at a quickie mart, someplace it was very cheap and it was not, you know, maybe they sprayed it on. It wasn't a high quality product and it might've turned a user off like, oh, this doesn't work. And so I think that's the most important thing about educating people on real high quality products right now.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when I jumped into this, one of the things that was clear is that there was a lot of great operators in this space. And you know, I was impressed with that, but you also have to navigate it correctly. Right. And, coming from a world where quality is key and you want to make sure that you can deliver the best products to customers, I found that you really had to do your diligence to find the right manufacturers and partners to deliver that high quality product. And especially like I used to make t-shirts, right? Now I'm thinking about, you know, a product that somebody's going to put on their body or in their body. And I feel like we have a tremendous amount of responsibility to deliver what the customer is looking for in the highest quality possible. So, you know, all of our backgrounds come from people who are involved with the brand delivering high quality products. And we want to make sure that we can deliver that same thing with the consumers that are out there. And we've found great manufacturers and we want to educate and be a part of that education that shows that, you know, companies are improving and they are improving on the quality of the products and the transparency of where they're coming from and the ingredients for the marketplace.
Makes sense. So, you know, kind of looking, you know, I mean, talking about experience, you know, looking at your experience in particular, obviously launching all these incredible brands, you know, from your past life, you know, you've done everything from, you know, figured out the distribution strategies, different channels, wholesale, retail, e-commerce, right? What are your visions, you know, for your current company? And like, talk to us a little bit about, you know, experience, customer experience. Like, obviously you've had so much great, you have such a great track record on, you know, bringing these products into everyone's homes. What's your big vision for, you know, Just Live?
That's a good question. One of the things that's exciting about starting a new company is you don't have to live within the constraints that have been developed by companies over the years. And especially, I think in today's day and age, you got to rewrite the rules in the way you build your infrastructure, reporting lines, and everything else, right? And the way things operate. And to me, it's critical that it's a consumer-centric model. We need to be able to provide products the way the consumer wants to buy them or consume them. And we need to be able to communicate with them the way they want to be communicated to or with, right? Not to, but with, whether they want to communicate through social media or they want to email us or they want to call us, however they want to do it in today's day and age, I think you have to make it easy for the consumer to have that interaction with you. So it's a very consumer-centric organization that we're building. And then I'm a big believer in building brand and awareness before you open distribution. So we're going to be really focused on building our community and our brand, focusing on direct consumer till we feel like we've built a big enough audience and following where we can expand into the right distribution channels. But I also feel wholesale distribution is going to change over the years, and it's going to look different. You know, some of it's going to look the same, but it's going to be a different landscape and a different way that you bring your products to life at actual physical retail locations. And without going too deep into that, I'm excited about, you know, some of the things that we're working on how we bring that to life for the customer. But the most important thing is, to me, is you don't expand until, you know, the consumer knows you. And I think there's two things, right? There's educating the consumer on CBD in general, and so that they can go buy it at other places and at brick and mortar places that they're looking. And then there's education and comfortability with our brand and a connection to our brand and our community, that when we have that connectivity, we drive into different places where our consumer wants to have an interaction with us.
Makes sense. From a consumer standpoint, like, do you guys happen to know, I guess, one, who your target consumer is? And if not, are you thinking about lots of different buckets of consumers for, you know, different aspects of different lifestyles, different parts of the country, different folks doing different things? Like, this, obviously, you guys have so many products that are kind of focused for so many different types of people, right? So it's like, where do you start there?
Yeah, well, we're really focusing around, you're right, it's a broad consumer base. It's everyone from, like you mentioned earlier, mom, you know, looking at products, to, you know, millennials that are looking for relief. So I think it's all walks of life, all demographics, all regions. So it could be very broad. Mm-hmm. We've taken the approach of focusing on the athlete to start, and the athlete specific to our sports, where our athletes live. And we feel that at taking that angle, we can solidify a position with those people. Because I think, and you're talking about education, both on CBD and on the brand level, if you try to do too much too soon, I think you lose the consumer and you're not making a hard enough impact. So we're going to focus around the athlete in those sports, and even some of the regions where those athletes are better known, and then translate that to the average, you know, citizen, because if it works for them, it should work for them. So we want to make it attainable for people who aspire to be an athlete, or, you know, if they're just aspiring to go for a walk in the afternoon, to understand how it works for Clay and how it can work for them.
Well, lots of exciting stuff that you guys are working on, and, you know, really exciting to see as you guys have rolled out a whole new site. You know, if you've listened to the show before, we talk a little bit about business in the beginning, and then we kind of end the show with a couple questions about you, Kevin. You ready? A little quick fire challenge?
I'll give it my best shot. Let's do it.
All right. So first question, what's your favorite food?
Mexican food.
Do you think aliens exist?
I do.
What are you most worried about today?
Wow, that's a loaded question. There's so many.
I mean, it is 2020, right? There's a lot.
Yeah, 2020. It depends on what time of the day you catch me. I'll have a different answer on the,
yeah.
Right now, the thing I'm worried about most is my kids running into this room and interrupting this podcast.
Oh, that should be your least of your concerns.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What are some red flags to watch out for in daily life? Like if you can give everyone's listening in today, it's just like, if you were to say, hey, here's something that you should be worried about. What is a red flag to watch out for? Not necessarily for you, but for everybody.
Man, it's just something because of a conversation that just happened the other day. I think red flags, and maybe it's the proliferation of social media and everything else, but trying to keep up with the Joneses. I think everybody should just stay focused on what makes them happy and stay in their lanes on, you know, what are the things that are getting you to your happiness, and focus on those.
All right. That's a good answer. What's the spiciest thing you've ever eaten?
I had one of those ghost peppers at one point, I think. Is it a ghost?
Ghost pepper.
By mistake. It was a painful journey.
We actually, I asked someone that question about a month and a half ago, and they said ghost peppers too. Those things are crazy hot.
I would never eat one on purpose. Let's just so we're clear.
Yeah, me neither. Okay. So last question, what's the most expensive thing you've broken?
The most expensive thing I've broken, a boat. I don't know what it costs.
What'd you do?
I blew the engine up.
Were you going too fast?
A little bit of everything, and not having the right lubricant in the engine at the same time.
What's
the most expensive thing you've broken?
I love that you turned it around on me.
I didn't like my answer, so let's hear yours.
I'm trying to think. So the most expensive thing I've broken. Well, I will say, so I when I was in college, so I grew up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And my freshman year when I went to college, I wasn't allowed a car until my second semester. So first semester, I was back in New York and I had a friend with me from school. And she's like, oh, can you drive me to Penn Station? Because she was going out to Long Island or something. And it's kind of silly, by the way, to go get a car out of a garage in New York City on 27th Street to go drive someone across town to Penn Station, which is, you know, seven avenues and three blocks away.
Yep.
But I did anyway. And my dad at the time, he had like one of those new Jaguar convertibles. And I really didn't know how to drive very well because, you know, when you grew up in New York City, we don't drive cars. And so I got my license in college. And so when I was back at home in New York, I took the Jag and, I was hitting the brake, but by accident I hit the accelerator and I literally sideswiped this car. It was a lot of money to fix.
See, that's a better story than mine.
And that just brought back a lot of yelling and screaming. It was like there was still like snow and sleet on the ground and I tried to put like, you know, dirt and slush on the car to make it seem like it wasn't there, but it was just so damaged. But other than that, like, I don't think I've ever broken anything that expensive other than I've had many boats. I've never got into a boat accident, knock on wood. I think that's really it. A couple of little, you know, car accidents here and there.
Yeah. It's a kind of a tough question, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I asked this question to a guest that we had on probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the same person who actually was saying they ate ghost peppers, when I asked him this question, he said, oh, when I burned my parents' house down.
Well, yeah, that's pretty clear.
That, by the way, that's an answer, right?
Yeah, I was never successful at burning the parents' house down, just a few trash cans on the side of the house. So that's pretty a big accomplishment.
Well, but listen, Kevin, I'm glad that you haven't had any more, you know, serious, you know, expensive accidents. So, but it was great to have you on the show. It was great to hear more about Just Live and all the great things that you're doing. And it was also, you know, great to talk about your background and, you know, hear more about you and the company. So really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Jeff.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.